guys. I'm Adam Rapport, and this is the Bon Appetit Foodcast. All right, this week we've got on Associate Editor Alex Delaney and Senior Food Editor Molly Boz, taking a page from our August issue, which is out now on stands. It's all about the do's and don'ts of picnicking. We're talking about the best way to transport all your gear and food, and whether ice has a place at the party, dishes that won't get all gross as they sit out in the sun, and lots, lots more. And after that, Senior Food Editor Andy Bergani walks us through how to make his frozen margarita pie. And you can find that recipe in our August issue. Oh, one quick note before we get started. If you dig this podcast, or maybe you love our YouTube channel or our Instagram feeds or bonappetit.com or Healthy-ish or Basically, please support us. And you can do that by subscribing to Bon Appetit magazine. So much of what we talk about on here comes from the stories we create for print, the recipes we develop, the reporting we do. It all starts with the magazine. So subscribe for just $10 a year, and you can do so by going to bonappetit.com/get the mag. We would love your support and we would appreciate it. Thanks so much. All right, now to the show. Okay, so maybe this is not the best way to start a podcast about picnics, but not a big picnic guy.
You know, all right, the picnic is, and this is, I feel like I have this opinion about many things. When it's good, it's really good. When it's bad, leave me out. I don't want to be
there. Or not just when it's bad, when it's even average.
When it's average. When it's mediocre. Yeah. You can lose my invite.
I have a hard time, like, the whole, what am I sitting on, first of all? Am I, is there a blanket? Is there not a blanket? Even if there is a blanket, people did not bring the little fold-out chairs, because that brings too much sort of responsibility in the equation. If I'm at a beach, I hate it, because then sand gets in everything, and if you have little kids with you, they are walking directly over the blanket with their sandy feet, and if you tell them 29 times not to walk over the blanket with their sandy feet.
Oh my God, it is so lit in here right now. I love a picnic. On the other hand, I just think that you have to be prepared. If you're not going to put in the effort before you commence, then don't picnic.
I feel like a lot of people don't put in the effort.
You've got to put it in.
That's true.
That's what we're here to talk about.
I feel like people put in the effort. Some people put in the effort for the food or drink. They don't think about all the logistical sort of efforts you need to execute.
It has to be a 360-degree kind of occasion. You got to think about everything.
If you're not going out to a restaurant and this is going to replace your dinner out, then you need to consider all of the things that that restaurant is considering for you out in the wild.
Okay, so before we get to food then, let's just talk about, like, I don't want to say setting the table, because, you know, although I'm a huge fan of people bring if someone brings the fold-out portable table.
I don't think that's a picnic.
Then you have the little side table that you can put the dishes on. Like, I just want dishes on the ground.
Okay, well, I think we should talk about setting the blanket.
Okay, let's set the blanket. All right, first of all, you need to bring a blanket, right?
Ideally, a blanket that's waterproof, right? Because what if it rained earlier
then
that day?
Then you're
or the day before.
Soggy bottom is not a way to go.
Or morning dew or whatever. So the bottom of the blanket is waterproof and the other side is cottony soft.
Fascinating. The underside waterproof, or you got to double up two blankets.
You could do like a tarp underneath. That's a little crunchy.
I don't like that.
With a blanket over top.
I also think, okay, so buy a good blanket. I also think you need to have two blankets, because people need to sit down. Also, you need to lay out the food.
Totally.
You're not going to have everyone sitting and food all on one blanket.
No, that's like the thing you do for the Instagram shot, and then.
And then you disperse. Everyone needs to bring their own blanket.
BYOB.
Yeah, it's a different kind of BYOB.
Or each couple, at least. So I say if you have two or three, if you have an extra blanket, fine, just leave it
in the
tote.
You're never mad that you have an extra blanket.
No. All right, so I think bring blankets. You want, obviously, nice tote bag to carry a lot of the stuff. I love any little foldable picnic chair, beach chair, light sort of thing, that at least, because for me, like, I like to have a little back support.
Oh, yeah. That's fair.
You know?
That's fair. I think, all right, this is not an REI-sponsored podcast, but I just bought this really amazing fold-up, like, beach lawn camping chair at REI that weighs like 1 pound.
What's it made out of?
It has like metal rods that all fit into each other, and then the back is like this mesh thing that it's awesome.
I think there's no shame in coming prepared that way, and it all goes in a little bag you put over your shoulder sort of thing. Love that. Boz?
I'm honestly like just trying to trim down on the schlep when I'm picnicking. I like, if you're going to the beach and you're like going to be there for 8 hours, I get it. Bring the beach chair, but I'm going to sit on the blankets. But all right. I'm a little younger than you.
The other week over 4th of July weekend, it turned into a whole week. Basically, I don't know
it's
who.
A whole week.
Christina Martinez, our managing editor, just gave the entire office week off. I'm like, wait, when did you do that?
Here on Tuesday. Yeah, Molly was here. Dead yeah. zone. Yeah. I was like, I didn't get the memo that we were on a vacation for 12 days.
I didn't either until the day before. So anyway, so BA was closed for that week. I was up in Maine with everyone else, and we're at Andrew Knowlton's family place up there, and we went to the beach, and he had one of those rubber Yeti backpack coolers that. Mm-hmm. Super, you know, not a drop leaks out, sealed. And you just load it up with ice and wine and beer and everything and just throw it over your shoulders. I thought that was kind of genius.
Yeah, that seems optimal.
The brand that I love is called Ice Mule. It's like totally soft. They're a little more lightweight than the Yeti ones, I think. Yeah. But this brings up the question of if you live in the city like we do, right? You don't really want to be carrying ice, a thing filled with ice around with you, right? But you want the cold drink.
Yeah.
But do you? And this is if you're reading this story in the issue, you'll see that we kind of recommend like a way of keeping wine cold. So we're all about decanting your wine, not like some schnobby sommelier will tell you. Mm. But chilling your wine, throwing in the freezer for like 45 minutes before you leave to an hour, and then pouring it directly into an insulated water bottle. Skipping, you know, the actual bottle. Don't bring that. Just bring your water bottle. It's going to insulate it. It's going to have the cold wine in there. And the cops milling about will not see wine bottles hanging around.
So if you have like one of those Swell water bottles or whatever, like I have one right now.
Yeah.
Not a product endorsement, although Swell, if you want to sponsor the pod, we'll take it. Because I will say this about these and Zojirushi and these other ones. I will have cold water in my Swell with maybe a bit of ice. I'll come to work the next day. It is still cold.
Totally.
Like if you put ice cold wine in one of these things, it's going to stay cold.
It's going to stay very cold.
You know, so I think that's an interesting way to deal with it. Although beer cans, for instance, I think you need some ice. And I think if you don't need to bring an entire cooler full and you don't, let's get rid of the notion that you're going to be serving like cocktails on ice because like that's absurd. Mm-hmm. But I think if you pack a bunch of beer into one of these sort of backpacks or soft, there's also those shoulder bag sort of coolers now, which I like a lot. And fill it up with a decent amount of ice. Doesn't need to be a ton. You're going to stay cold. But I think you need some sort of ice.
I agree. I'm trying to bring as much ice as possible, honestly, to a picnic because I feel like it's going to melt. You want it to keep not only your drinks cold, but all of your little salads and cheeses and things cold as well. Then you're going to want it for water. And at the end of the day, you can just dump it out.
Yeah. Also, and we've talked about this for holiday parties and stuff, when your friends who are coming, who are not the organized ones who work at a food magazine and are obsessing over these details, are like, oh, dude, what can I bring? Like, bag of ice.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So you don't have to schlep all the ice yourself, but when they get there, they can just pour it into the cooler.
Yeah. Bag of ice and a blanket.
Yeah. I will also say, though, that wine strategy works for, you said we're not serving cocktails on ice.
Works for cocktails.
Works like a little pre-batched, as long as it's a stirred cocktail, not a shaken cocktail.
So like what would
like
you bring?
I would bring like pre-batched Negronis, pre-batched Old Fashioned, the look in your eyes right now is disappointment.
I would do like a Negroni spritz or something. I think drinking a straight Negroni without ice to sort of mellow it out and dilute bit is
I'm saying if we are following Molly's thing and we're bringing ice.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
You can employ the water bottle strategy,
or you could do the water bottle strategy with the cocktail that can be drunk up without need ice for dilution purposes. Yeah.
If you need a half liter martini, that's what you're gonna do.
Let's talk about. All right. So we got the blanket. We have some sort of soft cooler, whether it's a shoulder bag cooler, backpack cooler, etc. Friends bring ice. Molly, we need food.
Yeah, we do. We need food that can sit out for a couple of hours at room temperature.
See, I'm already nauseous.
Well, that's why I brought it upon myself to develop a recipe a few weeks ago for a picnic-proof pasta salad. So it's called Jammy Pepper Pasta Salad. And the whole concept behind it is that there's no mayonnaise in it, so it's not sitting out there developing that weird
congealing.
Like, sheen and like cooking scrambled eggs on it.
No, not good.
So if you're bringing pasta salads or potato salads or grain salads, make sure that they're dressed in only things like oil, vinegar, citrus juice, nothing that's going to get grosser as it sits.
What's going on with this jammy pepper pasta salad?
So this is also a great way to use up the abundance of peppers in the summer that are always at the farmer's market. And frankly, I think it's one of the only ways you should be cooking peppers, which is super low and slow and long cooked.
Brings out their sweetness.
Yeah. And the raw pepper. I mean, I know we've taken it down before, but should we just take it down one more time?
Sure. Literally, we cannot take it down enough.
We're taking them down.
Yeah.
But you can cook them down instead.
You can cook them down and then they're glorious.
All right. So what sort of peppers?
This is a mix of any kind of bell peppers, any colors. Actually, preference that you don't get a green bell pepper. But it could be orange, could be yellow, could be red, could be just one of them.
Yeah. And also, the green ones, when they cook down, they turn that weird army green. They do not look appealing.
Not appealing.
Yeah. Good. Let's say you got a mix of yellow and red.
Let's say that. And then you grab a couple fresh Fresnos or jalapenos, like a fresh hot chili. Mm-hmm. And you basically just pull the stems out, cut them into large strips or chunks, and throw that all in a Dutch oven with a lot of olive oil, a lot of red wine vinegar, a lot of smashed garlic cloves.
So I like this. So the vinegar infuses the peppers.
They all cook down in it. So it's sort of like a sweet and sour. They're almost like confiting. Yeah. They get like a little bit of color up front because you start them really high just to jumpstart the cooking process so it doesn't actually take like 2 hours. And then it gets lowered and they all just kind of stew.
Do they get kind of syrupy almost?
It's not not cloyingly sweet, I wouldn't say, but the peppers emit some of their juices and those mingle with the olive oil and then also with the red wine vinegar, and then that becomes your dressing for the pasta salad.
Nice. Is there a shape you like pasta-wise?
I did this one with rigatoni, which I thought was kind of nice.
And when the thing that I really dislike about peppers is like that weird kind of sharpness to them that's not a pleasant like garlicky sharpness, it's just like straight up sharpness. But when we were tasting this, it really is just like so pleasantly sweet. That sharpness gets totally cooked out of the peppers.
Yeah,
it's
that
awesome.
Weird bite.
So you've got the cooked pasta, you just toss it all together and then let it cool?
So you toss it all together. While those are stewing, you've quickly pickled some onions. So like half of a red onion, I think I call for, just with like a little bit more vinegar, salt and sugar. And then the quick pickled onions get tossed in with all those juices and the pasta. And then I have you adding in basil, nuts, and cheese.
What kind of nuts?
You can use any kind.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of a well-toasted hazelnut. Mm. Not sure if you know that about me.
Fancy. Do you ever call them Filberts?
No. That's not what they're called.
In Oregon.
I know.
Oregon people will tell you.
Come on, they're hazelnuts. Do you know that hazelnuts cook from the outside, from the inside out?
What
are they called?
They're darker on the inside than they are on the outside.
In Italian, nocciola. Yeah. What about in
nocciola.
French? In French? if any listeners want to call in?
Shoot. How do you say it? Marron? No, that's chestnut.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll figure it out.
I do not have this answer.
You can email us at bonappetitfoodcast@gmail.com.
And tell us how to say hazelnut.
Yeah, in French. Okay, so, toss that all together and then let it cool?
Yeah. So then it's like you could eat it right then, sort of like room temperature, or you can chill it and nothing really happens. It's no different, really.
But you don't want it cold, necessarily.
Yeah, you do.
No, but doesn't that oil then get kind of congealed? It should still come to almost room temp, right?
I mean, maybe you don't want it like at 42 degrees, exactly. but a light chill on a hot day.
Cool as opposed to cold.
A cool pasta salad.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with your pasta salad.
Wait, I want to guess. I don't know. Okay, go for it.
The problem is this. Now we got to be like sitting on the ground like, oh, who's got the plates and who's got the dumb little plastic forks, and like I'm sitting there holding a plate on my lap. Again, that's the problem with picnics. I want a table and a chair so I can put my plate on something, and I'm trying to balance and like, where's my drink? Like my drink is like on the blanket that then said little kid who runs by knocks over my glass because it's on an unstable surface, and now I've got a spilled wine cup trying to hold on to my pasta.
You don't, Adam, when you go do a picnic, not everyone brings their own ladle and you write your name on yours and you just go right out of the dish. And
all right, see, I like that. but no, that does sound delicious. Serving challenges aside.
I mean, you got to bring plates to a picnic for starters. So if that's part of the challenge, bring a plate, bring a reusable plate, a reusable cup. Someone needs to invent something that's like a cup stand for the grass.
Yeah, see? Okay, there we
Should we do that?
Maybe Bon Appetit could do it. See, that's what I'm talking about, because like, they don't balance.
I hear you on
yeah.
that.
Okay.
I hear you. I'm not worried about the plate. Right. I'm worried about the cup.
Delaney, let's say that maybe I'm not making jammy pepper pasta. What about fried chicken?
Oh, yeah.
As the ultimate picnic food. Yes. Ultimate picnic food.
I could not co-sign that more strongly.
Better, arguably better cool/cold than hot.
All right, I'm not going to be the person that says it's better cool/cold. But it is not worse, right? Like, I'm not going to, there's no way that it degrades.
Yes.
Right? It's still a perfectly delicious food, especially if it's well-seasoned. If you get that really, really crispy exterior, it stays crispy.
This is what I would argue to do, okay? Mm. Little fastidious, perhaps. Walk over to my local Popeyes, get a big-ass order of Popeyes, take it home a couple hours before the picnic. Don't leave it in the container, but putting it on sheet trays so it air cools, so it doesn't steam.
Yeah, you can't let it steam.
Can't let it steam. That way it comes to room temp, cool temp. Then when it's ready to go on the picnic, then you load it up. It's like cooling something in the freezer before you put it in a bag to freeze it. Otherwise, it all clumped together. So it's got to air cool first, right?
Yeah. I've done exactly that about a month ago. I live a block and a half away from, in my opinion, New York's finest Popeyes, the Chinatown Popeyes. Did just that. Brought it to a picnic. Everyone loved it.
Spicy or regular?
Half and half.
Half and half.
I like that. I think that's actually absurd, but whatever. If you all guys have time for that, this kind
is,
of.
We do.
Here's an idea. Why don't you just pick up the Popeyes on the way to the picnic?
Because it's too warm and it steams in the container. And by the time you get to the
pop
picnic,
the top off.
You don't want warm. You want room temp or cool. So it's like there's a difference. And like you can't, because it's all piled on top of each other.
Then maybe it's not the
thing.
Perfect picnic food,
it
guys.
It is. You just have to let it cool. Emil Stonick, who worked on this package in the Basically section in the back of Bon Appetit magazine. A couple other thumbs up picnic foods. Chips and dips, obviously.
Duh.
It says you have a plastic Tupperware container. You got your chips, dip them in. Crudité. I love that. Just get a bunch of cool cut up vegetables, just not peppers, in a bag or whatever, and then goes in the same dip, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cured sausages. Literally made with this exact scenario in mind, says Basically. Yay, nay.
Yay.
Oh, hell yeah.
Strong yay.
Oh, that's the other thing we didn't talk about, what we're bringing. You got to bring a cutting board with like an open L, some sort of picnic knife.
No, not. I would say not an open L. I would say a true knife. If you're going to have a picnic.
What's wrong with open L? For those who aren't big open L obsessive, it's a little sort of wooden knife with a sort of, what do you call that? Like not a switchblade, but
it's like
sort of
a hinged,
foldable.
Hinged
a foldable. Yeah, foldable. Yeah. Super sharp, by the way.
Super sharp. But I will say this. A little knife, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to do something. Just like if you need a knife, bring a real knife.
But then you have to bring like a knife guard.
That
feels like a lot.
A knife guard? It goes right on the knife.
I can't.
I will always bring a chef's knife.
I'm not bringing my chef's knife. That's
always
insane. I'm co-signing on the cool and the fried chicken. I'm not bringing a chef's knife. Emil makes an interesting point. He was arguing this. He was talking about hard or soft cheeses. So like a Parmesan or some sort of gooey, you know, brie, Frenchy sort of cheese that actually gets gooier and better in the warm weather. What he was saying you shouldn't bring are some of those like medium cheeses, like the cheddar that sort of sweat in the sun and get kind of wobbly and soft, but don't get soft, gooey soft. I was like, okay, that's kind of an interesting point.
Yeah, I guess the extremes, the ones that can handle the heat and the ones that benefit, but the ones that are just like in that middle ground, leave them in the fridge.
I would also honestly cut out the soft cheese too. Because if I want a piece of cheese, I don't want to have to like get my knife, spread it on a thing. You know, I don't want multiple things involved
here.
What about
I'm
this?
I'm the laziest man alive.
Wait. No. All right. So, okay. Maybe like again, like, do I want a gooey French cheese? But what about a little boursin?
I'm here for that.
Yeah. But I almost
when you're
put
at
that
the grocery
dip category.
It's somewhere. God, I had some the other day. I was at a friend's or whatever, and his mom brought out a bunch of crackers with one of those domes of boursin. And I was like, this is so good.
It's
I was drinking good food.
It's
I just played golf, was drinking a bunch of Bud Lights, eating crackers and boursin. That was my dinner. So good. Bad picnic foods, Molly.
All right. So salads.
Like lettuce salads.
That are lettuce.
Yes.
Greens.
Wilted.
But.
Ugh.
I feel like you can still have a salad at a picnic, but it has to be a hand salad. It's a little bit more in the crudité department, but I feel like you can bring wedges of Little Gem or like pulled apart sturdier leaves and dip or dressing and do like a little dippy dip.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe a little radicchio.
It's a little.
Radicchio,
it's a little dainty. A little. I was on vacation during the whole hand salad fiasco of a couple of years ago. I did even get into that with Emil. I think a coleslaw, if you have a forks and plates.
Yeah,
I think
so crunchy crisp. Veg salads are great. So cabbage-based or like radishes, cucumbers, those kind of things.
Anything from basic slaw to creative ones. Shaved, shredded ones. Also, it's easy. They're not big piece of lettuce. It's just a forkful.
Yeah.
This is funny because this is... Emil brings up deviled eggs, like don't bring them, which in some ways are such like the backyard patio sort of deck sort of thing you have in the summertime. But transporting deviled eggs, not easy. And then it gets back to that mayo-y sort of situation.
Yeah. I feel like 100 years ago, there was one person that's like, you need deviled eggs at a picnic. And then for the past century, no one has ever questioned that person. And we just accepted it as this thing.
I associate deviled eggs with the holidays more than I do with picnics.
Really? You mean
like
Christmas and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh. No, I always say like...
It feels like an hors d'oeuvre to me.
Think of it as... I mean, I'm all for... I love a deviled egg. But I think of it more like suburban patio, pool party, whatever. You're hanging out and grilling. And, I'm going to bring out some deviled eggs.
Well, what you could do is just bring boiled eggs, like jammy 8-minute eggs.
No.
Yes. And serve them with the crudité platter with a little dippy.
Like you cut them in half, you mean? Cut them in half with his chef's knife?
No, you tear them. you bring the peeled eggs in a little Tupperware, and then you just tear them, and then they're just like dunking in the dips and stuff.
Interesting.
I'm not an egg at a picnic guy, but I will say I agree with Molly there. If you're going to do it, it should be a
jam. Can we say another thing to bring in addition to our chef's knife, open-L knife, a little tin of Maldon sea salt?
Okay, I was just going to say that, and in addition to that, a bag of cut-up lemons.
Yes. Oh, yes. Which of you guys was pro-tinned fish?
Moi.
Explain.
Because it's like it's the perfect already prepared, like just crack it open when I get there, all this deliciousness in a tin food. Like it was like, I think, meant for bringing out in the world and eating outside of like your home and out of a restaurant.
If it's 88 degrees and you're eating tinned mussels next to me, I might hurl.
Maybe I'm not choosing mussels, but like a nice sardine or tuna. The oil you can drizzle on your baguette with like a little with your olives and some of your crudité.
The oil is what I'm anti-tinned fish at a picnic. The oil for me is where like it gets everywhere. I don't want it on all my things. Like it's just. There's the little tin it's supposed to be contained in. It's never contained. It gets everywhere.
All right. So Eliza from Healthy-ish, she was suggesting bringing a simple fruit galette, homemade fruit galette, which are the sort of free-form pies that you don't need a pie plate for, putting it in a to-go pizza box from your local pizzeria, and then showing up with that in a very sort of ta-da moment. But then you got to take Delaney's chef's knife in order to cut it up, and are you serving it on plates or eating it by hand? Like, where do you guys fall on the galette?
Love a galette, don't love a galette at a picnic.
I like the idea of that presentation. Makes me very excited. Do I really foresee a situation where then like I'm cleaning my plate from like the pasta salad and wiping it off and making space for my slice of galette, or am I bringing an extra plate? Like that feels hand bite-sized things.
And Emil was endorsing fruit on ice. Like you have a little container, you've got whether it's cherries, nectarines, those sort of things on ice, and just, you can grab them as you go. First of all, we're all adults. We don't need dessert at a picnic. We're sitting around drinking cold rosé.
Mr. Softy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
That's the play.
The play is get a nice little soft serve cone.
Yeah. Rainbow Springs.
Or maybe a Good Humor chocolate eclair bar.
Yeah.
You know.
Choco taco?
King cone, maybe.
King cone,
yeah, king cone.
The what's the little SpongeBob popsicle that always melts and it looks like a zombie of a SpongeBob?
Italian ice, if you're into that sort of thing.
But I think the thing about dessert at a picnic is that most people just overthink it. It doesn't need to be a thing. There doesn't need to be an icebox cake. There doesn't need to be whatever. It just some fruit or like go find the ice cream truck.
Which are really nice. My wife found these. We had mentioned some from Amazon.com. Is that what is that place?
That's a small business out of Seattle.
Independent run. These are kind of cool. Little stackable metal picnic cups. She's got cool ones, vintage ones she's found somewhere on Etsy or something, a little leather sort of like conical container, and you stack them all up in there. So if you have your wine in your cooler, you pour them in those instead of crappy plastic cups.
Yeah.
Kind of a cool thing to look for.
Agree.
Yeah. Also makes it feel a little more legit. A
couple of things before we go. Bring trash bags.
Oh, always.
Gosh.
Always. Yeah, just like a big Glad bag or whatever.
Yeah, and paper towels. Always paper towels.
A nice big roll, because like, you're not bringing. Because you know what? I'd rather have paper towels than like cute napkins.
100%.
That are blowing all over the place. Bug spray, water, sunscreen. Can we remember the sunscreen?
Yeah. Also, we didn't talk about this. If you're not picnicking in a place that has at least a bit of shade, you are picnicking in the wrong place. If you're just out in the middle of a field, like, that's not where you have a picnic.
That's true.
Yeah. So find a park that has some trees. Well, let me ask you this. Because I really don't like eating in direct sunlight. Between that and sand, it's my worst nightmare. Like, eating at the beach at 1 p.m. on a 86 degree day is my absolute nightmare. Is it okay? Can you bring a beach umbrella to a park?
How do you get it in the ground?
I think bring your jackhammer too.
No, you'd have to have something where you get it like screwed.
That's
like,
so aggro.
No, I would say no. I would say no.
Okay. I would say
no. Just find some shade.
It's like, oh, Adam's back. Yep, he's got his umbrella this time too.
Yeah.
All right, final thought from me. Okay, music to your ears and nobody else's. We live in the golden age of affordable, high-fidelity, take-anywhere audio technology. True. But just because your wallet-size Bluetooth speakers boasts club quality bass doesn't mean this is time to show it off. Here's the rule. If your music is loud enough to be audible to anyone outside your party, it's too loud. Sound harsh? Either find a place to picnic that's remote enough so nobody has to be subjected to your EDM playlist. I feel like that's your husband's sort of routine, boss.
No.
against their will, or share the space, play nice, and be grateful that you can't hear the kids playing Old Town Road on repeat either. That's my son.
I think
that's fair enough. Like, bring speakers, but don't blast them. Molly Boz, Alex Delaney, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Truly a pleasure.
Okay, thanks so much to Molly and Delaney for breaking down the ins and outs of picnicking. Next up, we've got Andy Baragani talking about his frozen margarita pie. Andy Baragani, it's about to thunderstorm outside here at One World Trade Center, but we are talking about frozen margarita pie.
We are.
Who cares about the weather?
Who cares about the weather? I have to say, I am so kind of confused that I'm even here. I feel like I never would be on the podcast talking about a dessert. I feel like I'm not the dessert guy. I think that's very much
Claire or Chris. Yeah.
I'm happy to be here.
You're a mortar and pestle guy. You're a restaurant-y recipe guy. Maybe a pasta guy. But
definitely a pasta guy for sure.
So this is a recipe that originally appeared online, then it segued into the magazine because it was such a popular, awesome, easy to make, super summery recipe. What's the backstory of it?
So this was a recipe that was developed for I decided to kind of take on a dessert for basically.com. And
it's actually eatbasically.com. Yeah, and the whole premise, if you haven't checked out our site, it's kind of a learn to cook site. Very clear, instructional, a lot of voice and sort of personality. So what was the sort of the premise for this guy?
So I wanted to come up with a really easy dessert that you could make for the summer that was under 10 ingredients and something that I would actually want to eat and something that you'd want to serve and make at home.
Yeah. I think this is one of those dishes, before you even see it, if you read it on a menu, you see frozen margarita pie, and you're like, yeah, cool, I'll have one of those.
The thing is, I think everybody in the test kitchen was kind of shocked when I developed it. They're like, this does not sound like a recipe you would ever develop. Like, a frozen pie with booze? Like, what is going on here? I was like, trust me.
It's very much like you're at the airport in Cancun, and you go to the Margaritaville Jimmy Buffett restaurant, mm-hmm. and this is what you order. So, talk us through the recipe. What exactly is it? It looks delicious, but how do you make it?
So the way you make it is first by making a crust. It's a graham cracker crust that comes together in the food processor. Graham crackers, salt, a little bit of sugar, and melted butter.
Simple.
Simple. Super simple.
Even I can make that.
You can make that. And then this also, you don't need to bake this crust at all. So this is a no-cook pie.
Okay,
no bacon
cool.
involved. And then transfer the graham cracker mixture to a glass pie dish, and then you kind of pat it down using a measuring cup or a mug, and then that's when you make the filling, the mixture. And that's made with whipped cream. I take heavy cream, whip it. You're using about 3/4 cup.
Didn't you have a hand whipped whipped cream contest with Molly Boz and she kicked your ass?
That's because she develops more dessert recipes than me.
So she did kick your ass.
She won by maybe a few seconds.
Do you know about this, Emma? So I was like, how, what, was happen. That a, was that a pint?
2 cups of okay. heavy cream.
So also known as a pint.
You know, and we did, it was a contest that it will appear on video. I don't know exactly which video of hers, but she did, I will give it to her. She kicked my butt. I will admit I'm not a sore loser.
And the test was whip it until you can hold it over your head, exactly, the bowl, and it doesn't fall
exactly.
on your head.
And
about how long did it take you to whip a pint of cream to stiff
I
peaks?
Think both of us, it took around, God, it felt like it took forever, but it was probably maybe 2 minutes, and 2.5 minutes.
You were going back to, from hand to hand, or did you just go with one hand?
I went with one hand, which was my mistake.
Yeah.
That was my, Molly was definitely switching back and forth, but she still managed to kick my butt.
I would also, Emma, do you know that another trick for whipping cream by hand, which I actually like to do?
We go.
Well, it's true. It's like you get the metal mixing bowl, throw that metal mixing bowl in the freezer first.
Yes, that's exactly.
Was that an option for you? Could you have pulled that one over on her?
I was caught off guard.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, she's called you out just like on video and you couldn't say no.
I was sore from working out.
You're always sore from working out. Okay, so you're whipping cream by hand.
Back to the filling.
We call for
3/4 cup chilled heavy cream.
Okay, it's known as 6 ounces.
Yes, so you whip that. You're not going for stiff peaks. It's soft peaks.
Yep.
And then from there, you are juicing 4 limes. You should get about 1/2 cup lime juice. And
however,
yes,
as Cousin Tony, Anthony Holsworth, also always points out, he hates when you get the dry limes. And those happen sometimes, especially on the East Coast or wherever. You're like, why does this lime have like no juice in it whatsoever? It's maddening.
It seems to happen on the East Coast more than the West Coast.
You want soft, thin-skinned limes when you buy them at the stores. Feel them. They should be a little squishy. You don't want those hard ones.
You want plenty of
juice.
The worst.
So frustrating. You go to Mexico, every lime is
perfect.
Perfect. They have them cut into the little sort of like cheeks on the table and the little, oh, so good. So anyways.
It's hard out here in New York.
Yeah, so you got the lime juice.
So you have the lime juice.
Hey, what about the zest?
You're going to have another lime for the zest to top
to decorate the pie with. Cool.
So you have the lime juice, and then from there, you're going to mix lime juice with 1 14-ounce can of sweetened condensed milk, the ingredient that you never thought you'd see in one of my recipes.
I've never cooked with, I'm not a dessert guy either.
Mm-hmm. And then you're gonna whisk lime juice and the sweet condensed
milk.
But
the milk
together.
Has like this syrupy,
it has a silky. It's very, very sweet.
Yeah.
And a velvety consistency.
And it's almost like the consistency of caramel sauce before it turns brown.
Exactly. It has more of a blonde hue to it.
Can you do that thing I've always heard where you take the condensed milk and you boil it and it turns into dulce de leche?
Exactly, yeah. But you have to be careful because
it explode, right?
This has happened once before.
Oh, really?
Not on my end.
Where?
But
you know someone that happened to?
It happened with Claire's boyfriend, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So don't try that at home.
I'm sorry to Claire herself.
Yeah.
So you whisk the lime juice, the sweetened condensed milk, and this is the only sweetness, all the sugar is coming from the sweetened condensed milk for the filling. You whisk that together, and then you have this tart, sweet mixture, and then you fold that into the whipped cream.
Okay. So it's a creamy but airy mixture.
Yes. And so I use these three ingredients. So you get the acidity from the lime juice. You get the sweetness from the sweetened condensed milk. But it's also giving it kind of a nice silky texture. And then the whipped cream is for fat content so that it could also be a nice and airy and light. This is not a super dense pie.
I am not a key lime fan, and one thing I don't love about key lime is the density of it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's just me. And you're not sweetening the whipped cream. I am told. So you've got this nice, creamy, aerated mixture that you then just spoon into the pie crust.
Then comes the surprise.
Oh.
Then you throw in some tequila.
Oh,
that's what makes
tequila.
It the margarita.
How much tequila? It calls for
just 3 tablespoons.
Okay,
silver tequila.
A little something, something.
Yeah, you could leave it out, but the tequila's for flavor, but also that 3 tablespoons, kind of helps with the texture. If you didn't get the tequila in, if you don't put the tequila in, I've noticed that it does end up becoming a little bit more dense than I would like.
Because the tequila drops the freezing temperature,
exactly.
Correct? So it
exactly.
doesn't get as hard as it might if you leave it out.
Yes.
And you can, like, even if the kids are eating it, they're not going to get drunk. It's
no,
only three
no,
tables,
no.
unless they eat the entire pie by themselves, and that's going to be more of a sugar problem than
more
a tequila
than,
problem.
Exactly. You could swap out the tequila for rum if you'd like. You can make a daiquiri pie.
Let me ask you this. So say you make this pie for the family, for the whole family. If a kid, like say your 9-year-old is eating it, will he or she even taste the tequila, or will they not even really know?
It's subtle. I will say it's not tequila forward.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
it
no.
isn't. It's not a super boozy pie.
Okay, so you pour that into the mixture and kind of smooth it out with the little waves on top,
yeah,
perhaps?
Yeah, with the back of a spoon.
Yeah.
And then that's then you want to freeze it for preferably at least 8 hours.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So
you want to make
this isn't like, dude, we should make some margarita pie at 6 p.m. and you're eating in an hour.
No, because of all the sugar and fat from the whipped cream, it does take a moment to freeze and you want the right consistency. I would check after maybe at the 4-hour mark and see how it looks and just kind of pierce it with a paring knife and see if it's set. Or the 6-hour mark, but
well, let's say you leave it in for a full 8 hours. Let's say you're on top of things. You make it at 10 a.m. You're having friends over for grilling that night, yada yada. How before serving, if it's in a full 8 hours, how much before serving do you want to take it out of the freezer so it's not freezer hard?
I would do about 20 minutes.
Oh, really? That, okay.
Yeah, yeah,
all right, that's
yeah.
enough. And then do you
not just for the filling, but also for the crust to not be so hard?
Oh,
so
good
it's
point.
Easier to
yes.
slice.
So the butter on the crust sort of softens mm-hmm. a little. Do you zest it before it goes in the freezer or at the last minute so it's kind of fragrant and fresh?
I do it at the last minute.
I like that.
I think it just it kind of perfumes the pie a little bit.
It's like when you're at the Italian restaurant, the waiter comes over, is like, would you like some Parmesan with that?
Exactly.
And they bring the little wisp over.
You want a little bit of lime zest using a microplane. It just... if you freeze the lime zest, and then you, it's going to kind of curl.
Yeah.
It's not going to look fresh.
Don't want
and,
that.
So.
A little note. Again, this is in the... our new August issue of Bon Appetit on stands now, the simple issue, our third annual simple issue. I think it's our third annual. You have a little sidebar note, a nice photo of you, by the way, in the magazine.
Yeah.
Looking very cute there, smiling.
You.
Want to make a hard lemonade pie or a Paloma pie? Replace the lime juice with lemon or grapefruit juice. Parentheses, since you're looking for fruit with acidic pucker, it's better to pass on sweet oranges. I love the notion of a Paloma pie, and a Paloma is basically just grapefruit juice, tequila, splash of club soda, lime. I guess I would say you'd probably, there are certain, and grapefruits, essentially, when you buy them, certain ones are definitely sweeter than others. Certain can lean pretty bitter. I'd want ones that lean a little bit sweeter, less of that bitter grapefruit flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Fair?
Fair. I do, just like with the limes, I call for fresh squeeze lime juice. So I would buy your grapefruit. If it is super, super bitter, you could stir in some sugar to sweeten it slightly.
Oh,
but
okay.
Again, like you have the sweetened condensed milk there.
So you have
there.
Enough sugar there. Okay, that's interesting. And lemon's pretty straight ahead. We all know what lemon tastes like. Wow. You know what you're going to have to do, Andy? You're going to have to develop a few more recipes for the Bon Appetit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
More dessert recipes?
Yeah. We'll look for the fall version or winter version of the margarita pie. It's got to be something with bourbon, right?
I'm ready for that.
All right. Well, bourbon recipe coming up this fall from Andy Bergani. Thanks, dude.
Thanks, Adam.
The Bon Appetit Foodcast is produced by Carrie Polis and Christina Che and produced and edited by Emma Wortsman. Our theme music is by Nathaniel Wortsman. We have new episodes every Wednesday, and if you want to tell us about this or any other episode, email us at bonappetitfoodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.